I debated one Calvinist, and he said, unless your name was specifically written in the Bible, you could not be sure that your name's in the Book of Life. You could not be sure that you're eternally secure. I also read an article by a Calvinist who said specifically, my name is not in the Bible, so I can't be sure.
Whose job is it to keep you eternally saved? Learn the answer to that question and much more on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently in a series about the 5 points of Calvinism and whether or not they are biblical. I'll come back at the end of the broadcast to tell you about some resources that we have available for you. But now, let's jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we've been talking about the 5 points of Calvinism. Calvinism, of course, is a system of theology held by many prominent pastors and theologians. People know it under the acronym TULIP. T stands for total depravity. U stands for unconditional election. L stands for limited atonement. I stands for irresistible grace. And the P in TULIP can be broken down into two doctrines. Those two doctrines are the perseverance of the saints and the preservation of the saints. Bob, can you tell us what those two terms mean?
Yes, I wrote my master's thesis at Dallas Seminary on the fifth point of Calvinism. What Calvinists are basically saying in the fifth point is that God preserves or keeps eternally secure all who persevere in faith and good works until death. Another way of saying that is he's preserving, protecting, keeping the elect. And the elect are guaranteed to persevere to the end of their lives in both faith and good works. So that's why preservation and perseverance go together. In fact, I recently read a comment one Calvinist made, and he said, we believe in the preservation of the saints, but these free grace people believe in the preservation of sinners.
Right, that's right. And by the way, that'd be the name of our position. We like to call our position the free grace position. And we hold very firmly to eternal security. And what that means is the moment you believe in Jesus for eternal life, you have that life as a present possession, and you will never, ever, ever lose it. Once you're justified, you are justified forever. Once you're born again, you're born again forever, and you'll never be unborn again. Once you're in Jesus' hand and the Father's hand, nobody can snatch you out, and you can't jump out. So once you're saved, you are always saved. That's another way to put it. Now, the P in preservation kind of hints at that doctrine.
Right. However, it's a formal acceptance of what theologians call eternal security. But practically speaking, it's not eternal security. And here's why, Sean.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you an example. In 2000, I went to the Ligonier Conference in Florida. And I had breakfast with a leading Calvinist pastor, theologian, seminary professor. He pastored a church of 1,000. He was a theology professor at a leading Calvinist school. And I asked him, is it true that all who are elect will persevere in faith and good works until death? And he said, absolutely. I said, is it true that we can't be sure that we will persevere until we've actually died? And he said, oh, of course that's true, because that's what 1 Corinthians 9:27 says. Paul says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might be adokimos, disapproved, or some people translate it disqualified, which he took as missing out on the kingdom. I would understand that as a rewards passage. But in any regard, clearly Paul is saying we can't be sure we persevere. So then I said to him, well, isn't the only conclusion possible then that we don't know where we're going till we die? And here's his response, Sean. He said to me, I see in my life what I think are the works of the Holy Spirit, but I must admit it's possible I could fall away. And if I do fall away, I'll prove I never really believed, and I'll end up in the lake of fire.
Our position is every single believer, at some point in their life, they had to have known that they had eternal life because that's what they were believing in Jesus for.
Right. And as long as I believe the promise, I believe in Jesus, therefore I know what I have, everlasting life. If I stop believing in Jesus, I still have it,
right?
Because at the moment I believed, I got everlasting life that could never be lost. But however, within Calvinism, That's not their understanding of preservation.
Right.
It's linked to perseverance.
Right. They believe that the elect are preserved, but they don't know if they're elect.
Right. And the elect are the ones who persevere.
Right. And since that's like a future thing and no one can see into the future, no Calvinist can know if they're going to persevere in faith and good works until death.
I debated one Calvinist at Dallas Seminary, and he said, unless your name was specifically written in the Bible, you could not be sure that your name's in the book of life. You could not be sure that you're eternally secure. I also read an article by a Baptist Calvinist who said specifically, my name, Kenneth Gentry, is not in the Bible, so I can't be sure. That's a Calvinist position, and it's a sad position. That's why our hope is, if you're a Calvinist, our hope for you is you will gain assurance of everlasting life. There are Calvinists who just look to the promise and know they have everlasting life, and you can too.
Right. What's happening there in Calvinist thought is the system takes priority over the very simple promises of Scripture. And instead of just taking Jesus at his word, whoever believes in me has everlasting life, they put that aside, and what they're doing is, instead, they're putting their faith in the system, in this elaborate scheme of predestination and election. And by the way, in previous episodes, we talked about that. In our view, the Bible does not talk almost anywhere about God choosing individuals to have eternal life. God chooses people and things to serve him, but there's no passage in Scripture that teaches election to individual eternal life. But that's how Calvinists read the Scriptures. And so Jesus' simple promise of everlasting life gets pushed to the side, and this predestination scheme takes over, and all it does is create doubt. I want you to consider, there's several verses that say we can have assurance by faith alone, not by faith plus observing our works. Can you give us some examples of that, Bob?
I think a primary one, other than John 3:16 or John 5:24 or John 6:47, one I really like is Jesus talking to Martha in John 11:25 to 27. And that's where Jesus makes one of his famous I am statements. It's a compound. I am the resurrection and the life. As the resurrection, he says, he who believes in me, though he may die, that is physically, yet he shall live. And he's talking in terms of the resurrection of the righteous there, that is glorified bodies. And then he says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am the resurrection as the life. As the life, he says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, never die there must refer to spiritual death, because the previous verse says, though the believer may die, he will live. Mm-hmm. But this verse says he'll never die, and it's emphatic in Greek. It's oume, very emphatic, never, ever die. And so this is a statement of security. And you'll notice there's nothing in these statements Jesus makes about perseverance of the believer. He simply says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and he who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked Martha, do you believe this? And her response is, yes, Lord. Well, of course, Calvinists would say, I don't know if I believe. I hope I believe. Right. I know I have some intellectual thoughts.
Right. Martha had three choices here. Jesus asked her this question. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Do you believe this? If she said no, then her conclusion would be, I don't know. If when I die, I'll continue to live, you know.
Right.
If she had said, I'm not sure I believe, then her conclusion would have been, well,
same one, basically.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I still don't know. But because she said, yes, Lord, I believe, what did she know to be true of herself?
She knew for sure that she was going to gain a glorified body, and she knew she would never die spiritually. And by the way, she explains why she's sure. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Her understanding of the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, is that he guarantees future resurrection so that the believer will be in his kingdom forever and they will never die. And by the way, Jesus doesn't say, well, what about your perseverance? He doesn't rebuke her for saying, yes, I believe that. And there's nothing about perseverance in faith, perseverance in works. The point is, when you find a living human being, he who lives and believes in me...
Wait, can you just explain, why does he say he who lives?
Okay, the reason he says he who lives, and he doesn't do this in other passages in John, he's doing it here because Lazarus has already died, and so he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus believed in Jesus while he was alive, so Lazarus is never going to die spiritually.
Right.
And anybody who believes in Jesus while he's alive will never die spiritually. But by extension, if you don't believe in Jesus while you're alive, it's too late.
There's no second chances after death. This is your chance.
No post-mortem conversion.
Right. Once you're dead and you're separated from God forever, we believe, there is no chance to come back to faith.
You know, our Georgia friends say, dead.
Dead.
Dead, yeah. I can't do it with three syllables, but the point of John 11, 25 to 27 is that certainty here is based on faith in Christ plus nothing.
Right, and it's a single act of faith in Christ. Now, ongoing certainty obviously requires ongoing faith.
Right.
But all that you require to be eternally secure is just one moment of faith in Christ.
Right, because what Jesus, when he says, he who lives and believes in me shall never die, that refers to Martha, Lazarus, Mary, his disciples other than Judas, who was not a believer, and all of those people were never going to die spiritually. Even if later on they didn't persevere, there's no condition of perseverance, not only in John 11, 25, 27, but John 3, 16, John 5, 24, John 6, 47, especially, of course, in the parable of the four soils. The second soil believes for a time, and in time of temptation falls away, yet it's saved once and for all.
Right, that's right. So what is the role of... What can you tell us about perseverance very quickly before we end the show?
Okay, great. Perseverance is commanded in Scripture. We're called to endure in the faith. We're called to endure in good works. And if we do, we will reign with Christ. 2 Timothy 2:12, Revelation 2:26. If we do, we will hear, "Well done, good servant." Luke 19:17. If we do, we're going to receive eternal rewards. But if we don't persevere, and it's not guaranteed that we will persevere, if we don't persevere, then we're not going to be approved by Christ. We're not going to be praised by Him. And so the call for us is to live like who we are, which is children of God, and then we will persevere. The possibility is there. It should happen. And we're calling all of our listeners to persevere, not in order to prove you're saved, not in order to stay saved, but in order to please God, in order to lay up eternal rewards.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bob and Sean, for that great discussion, helping us clear up the difference between perseverance and preservation. Maybe you want to go deeper on this subject. We've got lots of blog articles on this very topic on our website called faithalone.org. They're free to view. Come on by and take a look. faithalone.org. You can learn about upcoming events on the website as well. Maybe you feel like partnering with us to continue the work that we're doing here. You can give a tax-deductible gift right on the website, faithalone.org. Maybe you've got questions or comments. Our email is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to talk about the free grace position and how that relates to the 5 points of Calvinism. Don't miss it. I think you'll get a lot from it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.